Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and this podcast is ranked in the top 2% of the most popular podcasts globally, and it's all because of my guests. They are incredible. I am honored and blessed to share time with people who are at the top of their game and who are willing to help you get to where you want to be in life and in business. Today, I'm excited. I get to introduce you to Gina Dang, and she is a visionary leader, revolutionizing the agricultural sector. And this is in Australia. And as the driving force behind SSS strawberries, I'll get her to tell you what that means. She has transformed it into one of Australia's largest and most innovative strawberry farms. And her pioneering work in food sustainability includes founding Gina's Table. And that's a new brand that uses cutting edge freeze drying technology to turn unremarkable fruits into high value products and thereby reducing food waste. Now, her commitment to sustainability is further evident through initiatives like recycling and strategic collaborations with other fruit growers. And beyond business, Gina's philanthropic efforts, including the SSS Foundation, highlight her dedication to global community impact. Recognized internationally, she continues to set a precedent for innovation and sustainability in agriculture. And good morning, Gina, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I have been looking forward to this. I had some of your products. Oh my gosh. So tell people before we get started, can you tell us a bit about you and how you show up in the world? Because your family business, SSS Strawberries, is a truly remarkable story of growth and innovation.
Good morning, Denise. It's incredible to be here. Thank you very much to give me an opportunity to be here with you and your audience. SSS Strawberries is our family business, started for my parents, and we are now the second generations operating the business. That is between myself and my other six siblings. So the SSS Strawberries, let's start with why it is SSS Strawberries. So our parents started the strawberry farm as we are refugee migrated from Vietnam to Australia in 1994 when we arrived into Australia after stay at the refugee camp for 4 years, and it was a tough journey to be moving to a country with no completely no language, no relative, nothing. And our parents started their first job as a strawberry picker. And working with strawberry, they loved the family that they worked for. However, it was tough working on a strawberry farm. The hardest part is getting along with all the other long-term workers that the farm has got, and my parents are like extremely them implanted in us is really work hard and work with all their hearts, and so they get promoted to become the supervisor in a very short time, then become the manager of the farm. And I think that was where my parents starting to find it challenging when they working in a working environment with people aren't supportive, and kind of jealous that they came to a farm very short time, but then they get to be supervisor and managing the other people who've been there for long, and they get bullied a bit. Because mom come home a lot of the times were crying after work, and dad was like, save up And the first thing that they wanted to do is that to have a workplace that is safe and happy. So they just thinking that, own their own farm, started the leasing a small lot of land and start growing strawberry. They never thought that how hard it is to start a business in Australia where they don't speak English. And so we then start to see the struggle that our parents have from learning how to work on fertilizing, getting on along with markets. And even though we were blessed that we had a huge Vietnamese community where we closer to us, so they do mostly in the, working with the Vietnamese supermarkets and that. But the growing side of it and the legal requirements with operating the business and actually running it was tough. And that, and then employing and then start paying. And we, as kids back then, I remember it was like not fun because every day after school, we came home, then we start straight onto the farm, helping picking, packing, cutting strawberry. Cutting strawberry was is what we started. So our family is basically all about three things: family, food, and future. Those three things that's implanted in us, like when we were young. Everything is about our family, about having food, survival, and do not waste food was the key. And what I say there is where Mom was like, do not waste any food on your plate. You have to finish everything you have there. And when we start growing strawberries, the specs that required by supermarkets is very strict. You have to be able to pack only certain size, certain looks of the fruit. If it's too red, you can't pack it to the supermarket. You have to literally throw them out as second and have to find a market for it. Or the fruit is a bit too small, or the when they grow well, it's become too big or out of shapes. You know, some of the fruits just look a little bit funny. It's not a perfect heart-shaped strawberries. You can't put in the punnets. And that's where it's heartbroken to see so many fruits throwing out. And so what we had as kids was our job was to cut up the fruit and put them in a container, takeaway container, and sell it. So that's a fresh fruit salad. And I remember every afternoon, evening, we were just sitting around on the floor cutting them. And my little brothers and sister were so little that the only job that was available to them was putting in a fork and then close the lid, put it into a tray, and then that's where they go.
I love that. And they're probably sometimes saying, boy, I wish I could go back to that job. This is hard.
And then we see our parents like working really hard on the farm. And back then, a lot of things are all manually. And I will remember even popping the holes on the plastic for the strawberry plants. By the end of the day, you know, like my arms was like sore and I couldn't even pick a paper, and picking was bending our back. And yeah. So Denise, you know what? We never, all of us, we told ourselves we do not want to be a farmer. This is dad, mom and dad's job, and that's it. We help out. And so we study hard. None of us want to be farmers growing up. So I had a dream that I want to be a lawyer. So I started, legal accounting and graduate from commercial law and accounting. So, and all my brothers, we all have different university degree because we don't want to be farmers when we grow up, seeing our parents so hard. But because the struggle they had, we have to put ourselves in and help out as a family. We have to help out. And then as we grow and we up and we see how hard our parents work, and every day is a challenge. The market is challenged. sometimes with these amazing fruits that they grown, and there was no price in the market. So we study looking into the Australian markets, and then we start to say, well, this is not good. So then we started exporting fruit, strawberries into Asia. And that was good, because when the Australian market was not good, we were sent it out into Dubai, Hong Kong, Singapore. And that was like, yay, we were like proud of ourselves that we have got our parents into a new market. And that, so that's kind of like getting us a little exciting into farming. And then we explore different markets and another side of Australia is amazing country. I'm not sure if you've been here before, but we were in Western Australia in Perth, which is completely like another country to the eastern sides of Australia, where it's like Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales, Sydney, Melbourne are all on the other side of the country. And everything, we also, our time zone are different. Everything was different. So I was like, well, what's the other side of the country? And with my siblings was like, why don't we explore the other side of the country? And so, yeah, we studied the other side of the country. And the first state that we studied was Queensland, which is known as the Sunshine States of Australia. And so when we went to visit Queensland, we was like, oh, my Lord, this is amazing. The weather is so nice. It's very consistent. It's not too cold. It's not too hot. And the growing season, the soil, everything, we feel like, yeah. And then we came to an area, that regional area that's 5 hours away from the main city of Brisbane, called Bundaberg. And wow, it's known as a salad bowl of Australia, because most of the fruit and veg are growing in this in the area. And we were like, wow, we like going around and yeah, we bought and invest the land on our first trip to there. We're like coming back.
We're going to grow up to be farmers then. So yeah, is that the time? Is that the moment you said, well, I guess we're farmers?
Yes, it's so excited, you know? And then we didn't even think about it. And when we get back and we told the family with lots of photos, videos that we must move, we must go over there. And everything coming, you know, once there's a vision coming and this thing come in line, like, and then my parents was like really excited and took a trip with us, and they came back and Bundaberg was very, very regional, like really out. And now then I was just about to finish university. That meant my other siblings, younger siblings, would be still in their teenagers. And that's the stage where our parents was really concerned how the teenager growing up in the environment back then as well. So, yeah, so many reasons put in line that we then made the decision to move the whole family across to Queensland in Bundaberg. And you know what? Back then it was so fun, because everyone was saying, when we told our friends that we're moving, and they said, crazy, because we are, even though we're farming in Western Australia, but we're kind of very close to the city center, central of Perth. So when we said we moved to Queensland and we're moving further north, 4 hours away from the city, they call it, it's the Woof Woof area. Why would you want to go there? nothing there. No, luxury shops there. And but we were in love with it because of the things that we study about the farming area. And yes, you're right, we didn't want to be farmer, but we studied the area. It's everything fit for farmer. And so we
had no choice.
There.
I love this. Your whole family. And I really admire that the whole family just said, okay. I mean, you watched your parents, you know, their back-breaking work, and you had some your own. And I'm assuming, this is just guessing, that while your parents didn't really speak English when y'all first got there, y'all, the children, learned very quickly and stepped up many, many times to kind of mediate or explain. So you were working with them from the very beginning, I'm guessing.
Yeah, 100%. You're right, because I do remember even during school hours and break time, I would run out and make phone call for dad to order some fertilizer or some button nuts and bolts that's broken or something. Or why he's at store, he can't speak to the salesperson or there that I had to translate. So yeah, that was I'm always that in the family, and we start from that one. And when we were in Queensland in Bundaberg, we started the farming. It wasn't the same as what we study. Everything we study sounds so amazing. When we're there, we expected. Yeah, we start growing. We bought the land. We start putting this plants down and grow. But no, it wasn't. The soil is completely different to our sand soil in Western Australia. And the condition, weather conditions, was like perfect, but it's not. We haven't worked on it before. So it's we struggle. We struggle a lot in our first year arriving into Bundaberg. Everything we put in the ground, there was one thing, is that it didn't turn out. The quality was not there at all. And we lost every fruit, the plants that we put down, until we work out some quality. The market was not there, not the right market. So we end up not growing strawberry. We grow watermelon, eggplants, okra, tomato, cherry tomato, sweet potato, you name it, anything to survive. Because all our money savings and from Western Australia, we lost it all. We lost it all in all the crops that we put down, setting up our farm, our business in Bundaberg. Even the house that we had back in Western Australia, we sold it and we lost it. And the family was in bare shape. It was pretty bad because we're all stressed. Everyone was so stressed. And we come to a state where we were -$2+ million with zero income. And so we have no more saving left. I was scared to hear the phone ring back then. It's like, because I know somebody's chasing more money, not just the bank, but all our friends, anyone that we know of that who are capable of loaning us, we already borrowed. And so I was saying back then we were saying, yeah, this is it. It's meant to be. We are not meant to be farmers. So we go off and work for find a job and go away and do all our own things. But we were blessed and lucky to have my parents, my mom, and mom and dad. Then, you know, when things are not good, everything else aren't good. Family relationship was bad and things was terrible. But then mom got us together one day and stopped us from fighting and stressed out and say to us, and it's something that we live up until today. She said, one job stick is very easy to break, but a bundle will be much harder to break. So we need to put our heads together and be united and work together. And that was the time that Triple S was born. We named our business to Triple S from there. And that Triple S stands for 7 successful siblings. So it started from there. That is where we were
starting. Yeah, I'm guessing, Gina, that when you named it that, you were just saying to the universe, we're going to be successful. So here we are. but you weren't actually successful at that moment.
No, that's what we want wrong. To be.
Right. So you were projecting.
Our goal is to want to live up to that name, work exactly. towards that name back then. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so that was then, that's really truly, we then can say that we are going to be farmer. We then study. That was funny when I was really wanted to learn on what strawberry plants really is. What are the plants that we can grow on this soil? And what seasons can we grow what? And we literally went out, all of us went out to different university professors, engaging to different community and local governments, any collaborator, partners, fertilizer salespeople. We start to get to really become a farmer, learn everything, start from sketch. And yeah, and that's where it's starting. We think that's this our turning point. That's where we started. We're growing from the 5 acres. Now it's 300 acres and become one of the largest or the second largest strawberry farmer in Australia, the whole country, which we're very proud of. Today.
What's your mom? And I wrote that down, that, you know, about the stick in the bundles. That's truly profound. But once you guys all said, she's right, we can do this, we can do it together, and you all pulled together and started working together, about how long after that did you start, you know, you went from 5 acres to 300 acres and where you are now, but what was the time frame there? How long did it take you?
So we actually didn't get, we get turned around after our, literally in our second, third years is where we actually gained profit. But we do then start getting income, and that's, and learning, the learning of how to grow and what to grow was what really then start fascinating all of us. And then learning the market as well in the Queensland states, what are the markets available? And it's the learning curve that has come. And once you made the decision, it's almost like one triple S was branded and expresses how we constantly call ourselves triple S. And we start to meet the right people, the right business partner, everything come in line for us. And we then start. From after our second year, third year, then we start to increase, because with this more volume that we think that we were growing enough in 5 acres, it's no market for such a small volume. And in these states, it's like you can't supply into any market change when you grow small amount. Then when we get into understand and learn to that, yeah, we need to grow enough volume that we can actually put ourselves into foot into the supermarket change. That's, yeah, I think it's until, oh, it's almost 10 years for us, 11 years for us to actually grow the full amount of land that we had, which was 88 acres to grow in 88 acres, and until 2000 and not until 2018 is where we actually doubled the farm and grow into 300 acres after 13 years.
Right. But you know what I wanted to ask you about too? You're heavily involved in sustainability. And I wrote down when you said your mom said it was family, food, and I think you said future.
Yeah.
So you're basically, everything that you and your family, as I understand it, are doing is from that, you know, what she said to you, family, food, and future. And sustainability, I'm guessing that falls under the future head. I don't know. Where does that fall?
Yeah, so it both food and future, that sustainability is really important. So when we start growing the business, we then learn to not become a farmer. We are working as a business and learning, using our all our university degree and knowledge and whatever we gain, we then took over completely from our parents and saying that we are not a farmer, not just a farmer, but we are a farmer with a business mind. And so obviously always to us, even up until today, after 18 years in business in Bundaberg, we still family first. Everything is decisions around family. All our staff coming to our farm, working for us now is over 350 workers that all call my mom. It doesn't matter what age. Some of our staffs are older than mom or at her age. They all call my mom. And that's how we love the environment that we created. Everybody as same as the family. And as we grow, the food of that we value is like, you know, hard work. It's really hard work to create and produce the fruit and pick that fruit all the way from nothing to have it picked. And then it's sent to, it become a waste. And waste is what I say waste is that it's not marketable. Like I mentioned earlier, fruits aren't be able to market. And then it become other reasons that it's not market is when the market price are not there. We have loads of fruits that are left on the plant. So we can't afford to pick because it's too, market price is not there. And then when it rained, we will have tons of it throwing out because strawberries are very delicate and the rain comes, it's damaged, it skins and it gets bruises. So it's huge amount of fruits that we're throwing out every year because of unable to market. And we work very closely with our community charities and other cattle farmers even, so we can sending the fruit to them before it's sent off to landfill. So our way of running the farm is trying to being sustainable, looking in sustainability in every corner. And when we're looking at this, how can we utilize this fruit before it's actually went and into giving it another chance of survive before it's going into like landfill or it's going to cattle farms? So sustainability is what we wanted to make sure that every farms and every products that we produce able to reach to consumer some way. And so we explore a lot of options, many options of utilize these fruits, right from the something very basic that you all aware of, like strawberry jam, strawberry sauce and syrups and all of that. Yeah. We had a things where we love to eat. We all eat very healthy and everybody is eating healthy, but we love eating healthy food that is tasty. So sometimes you got some really healthy food and the taste is not there. Mm-hmm. So when we study, it took us like think over 6 years of studying on the freeze-drying process. When we get engaged with it and then we were fascinated. Because it's like, oh, this is what the astronauts people eat. This is what people eat up in space because the fruit is so healthy. And when we study into that that process of freeze-drying food and what the astronauts are eating because it's completely retained all the nutrition of the fruit. But it's and it's tasty, healthy and tasty. So, yeah, when we look fascinated, and then we that's where we want to do, and that's where Gina's Table was born as a new food brand for Triple S Strawberries, is to develop healthy food and giving foods at a second chance.
Mm-hmm. What?
To get a little bit emotional when I'm thinking about it, because there was one time. Yeah, it's just to proud. We are very proud that the Genus Table food brands have developed in this sense, because there was time I was like, still imagine we have trucks load of fruits that we send it off to landfill, and now that we are, instead of sending off to landfill, we had the food that it works. And what I love about what we're doing is that we're all in together, the whole family, had that same direction that we want to create a world where every meal is a celebration of sustainability, and where every farmer is then told and every plate tell a story of success. So that's what makes us feel success.
It's success that you have very definitely earned. Listen, I'm listening. Every time you say landfill, I just flinch. So, and we see it here in the United States. And I have to tell you, you're talking about, you know, fruits that are maybe misshapen, or they're not the perfect look that you want to see in the grocery store. And I have been at farmers markets where young children would say, "But Mom, those potatoes are ugly." Or, "No, those don't look right." Well, they don't look right because they've been affected by looking at what's in the grocery store. And I'll be honest with you, Gina, I've gotten to the point where I don't buy fruits and vegetables in the grocery store because it's all tasteless. I do not buy tomatoes from any grocery store. They're awful. You're eating red cardboard. You can't put enough salt on them to make them palatable. Yeah, so I don't care if the potatoes are ugly. If they taste good, I want them.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, but you are 100% right. You know, we are a farmer, but the only fruit that we actually eat, and we eat every day until now, every single day in the morning, we will eat strawberries all the way until like lunch or after that, and then we get sick of it. And then we start again the next day. But, but you know, the fruits that we eat are the most tastiest food because it's already ripe on the plants. It cannot be packed for the supermarket because it's too ripe. But it's so sweet, so tasty. All our friends, like, they know, like, yeah, I don't want to eat that beautiful looking one that you can make money. Give me the second one, because that's the best tasty one.
I remember I knew when I was going to talk with you, I went straight back to my childhood. My parents would send us to our grandparents for part of the summer every year. And my grandfather had a strawberry patch, a big strawberry patch in his backyard. And we did not go steal those strawberries, but we sure waited at the edge of the step and, you know, I said, "Can we have some?" Because we didn't want to trample them. We knew how delicious they were, and we knew how much work he put into them. And I'll tell you now, if I accidentally am stupid enough to buy a little basket of strawberries in the grocery store, I'm so mad at myself. It's like, can I have my money back? This is garbage. They don't taste like anything at all. So yeah, I have those memories of those sweet, you know, beautiful strawberries compared to what you have to buy in the grocery store now. And I won't do it. Yeah, I'll just do without. I won't do it.
it's challenging in the way the markets work, the farmer business nowadays, because even considering when we're talking about taste, obviously whatever you eat right off the farm is the best taste there, tasty fruit. However, when it comes into supermarket, it's a different type of it's a strategy in a way, because the shelf life, particularly strawberry, shelf life fresh strawberries don't go not very long in the fresh fruit. And so for us to produce it from our farm, from pick to pack, and then having it to the supermarket, and it's and when it's ready on the shelf for customers to coming through, that process there depends on different area. In Australia, traveling home is already a day or two. And most of the time, it's 2 days to on the road before it get into the store. So, and for many of that reason, supermarket have to have the specs, the very strict requirements of the kind of fruits that they can take, because they still need that extra fuel. Excuse me. Extra fuel day of shelf lives as well.
When you know they're going to the grocery store, do you pick them when they're not quite ripe, so they'll continue to ripen during the journey?
Correct. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, what I said earlier is the full ripe color fruits cannot be sent out into supermarket for that reason. But then for that reason, it's the best taste. You know, you kind of suck behind this to get that.
Now I want strawberries. I'm going to have to go to the fruit stand. Although I think it's cherry season, but let's talk about, because we're talking here about sustainability, and you've had some specific practices that you've had to implement to align with sustainable development goals. But let's talk about, you have an amazing freeze-drying facility, and it's apparently transforming unmarketable fruits like the ones we've been talking about into very valuable products. And what got you started down that road? What made you start that?
Yeah, so what I mentioned earlier, it just us finding way to save those tons and tons of fruits, tasty fruits, and freeze drying was what fascinated us, because it not just retain and expand its long shelf life in the freeze drying, but it's the healthiness of the process that's really fascinating us. What's the process of normal drying, dehydration drying? When you get the fruits being dry in heat, and it will come to flat, squishy or chewy, right? But freeze drying is a process of a very slow evaporate of the I start mumbling. Apologize. So it's a very, unique process of, like, the fruits are going to under vacuum dry. So what it is strawberries has 90% of the fruits is contain water, and all the fruits that, you know, it's like apple has 84 to 85% of it is water. And so the water contents in the fruits there, when it go through the vacuum dry, it's got that kind of like sweat, you know, when you got into a steam and you got sweat out. So this is how it works. It's sweat out, and then take that sweat and turn into ice, and it slowly extract the sweat, the water out of the fruit, and the fruit retain its shapes and size. It looks exactly the same once it come out. And it's airy, it's crunchy. It does not take away any nutrition's contents out of the fruit. No damage to the nutrition's, and the taste become intense. You just imagine you're eating whole strawberry with no water content. Fascinating us fascinating us in the process, and that's where we invest heavily into the freeze drying And our factory was established as a state-of-the-art factory, and it's the first and the largest in Australia for the missions that we want. We're not just only supporting or working on the sustainability part of our farm, but to all the other farmers, supporting other farmers with the unmarketable fruits as well. So we do like collaborate with apple farmers, other berries farmers, and all the other farmers were along us, like mangoes and that. So that's where we develop apples as a product range, which we're really proud of. Apples is, as you know, the word apples is coming from happy apple. Where we want
to tell everybody they're delicious. I am not a fan of apples. I never have been. I like them, but they hurt my teeth. If I try to eat an apple without cutting it into pieces, it just hurts for some reason. So I tend to avoid apples. I really do like them. So when I got these little packages of apples, I went, what the heck are those? And of course, I was curious. I had to open it. The taste was amazing. It sent me right back to my grandfather's little strawberry patch. It's like, this is the way fruit is supposed to taste. Now, it had an odd mouthfeel, I will say that. But I got over that very quickly. But they're delicious. And the taste just pops right at you.
That's it. That's what fascinating us. And that's what inspires us to developing this and to get going. Because you're not exactly what you said there is what we get feedback all the time from our customers, to kids that who never wanted apple, does not want to eat an apple, and that they took the whole pack. So it's like, this is not apple. This is amazing. That's really it.
I shared with you that I had a couple of these packages, and it was my best friend's birthday. And I had put together some really nice coffee for her, and I had, two packages that I hadn't gobbled down. And I remember, I'm a terrible friend, Gina. I remember looking at those packages and looking at her little birthday bag, seeing, do I love her that much? I did. I gave them to her, but it was just, I cried a little bit. I said, I hope you love them if you don't give them back. She said, no, I love them. You're not getting them back. They are really delicious.
That's so cute. And you did give your friend apples, happy apples.
She was asking me the other day, because I was telling her that you were coming on the podcast. She goes, well, when can we get our apples? Are they on Amazon yet? And I think you told me, tell me the story you told me a little bit ago, that they're heading our way in the United States.
Yeah, so we are so excited to launch the products in the United States, and it will be the 15th of August, when from on you will get the apples on Amazon, on GinasTable.com. And we also are working on more channels online and offline. So yeah, it's really, really excited to take part in the US market. And we'll bring to the United States the yummy food that is good for you and good for the planet.
We need it. And this is the time of year I've got a box in my bedroom that I start stashing Christmas gifts, because I don't buy at Christmas. I buy throughout the year. And I've already made up my mind that my little niece is getting those in her stocking, and they're going to go to family. But let's talk about Gina's Table. We haven't really delved into that. To launch Gina's Table, you built a $15 million freeze drying facility that opened in December. And we just talked about how that's working out. But what is Gina's Table, and what's the story behind it?
I am want to go back a little bit to step back to let you know that I am one of the middle child, being seven children. So I'm kind of like the middle, not directly middle. My youngest, another sister, is middle. So I'm a middle, but it feels like what I was funny to say when we go into the process of developing the food brand of the products that we have, working hard to brand it. So it took us a very long time. We work with experts, consultants, and organizations on branding and naming. So it come to like always hundreds of names that we start with, and then it come down to slowly getting vote and by other experts, branding marketing agencies. And Genius Table was one of the name, as well as like, because all my brothers and sisters, like we was like, yeah, it was something fun from the agencies to say, yeah, anything, just put down in the very early stage of developing brands, anything you could think of, you know, just put it down. And then we go through tests and trial with other agencies and other markets and other people to get some understanding the reason behind and how it works. And Genius Table was like what our whole family was agreed on to put my name in this. I was like, yeah, because, you know, I'm a very noisy person in the family. I want to know everything. And I don't want to be forgotten being the middle child.
Now, it's not nosy. It's curiosity. See, I'm the oldest in my family, and I will say I am not bossy. I have leadership skills, darn it. Which means I'm really bossy, but I'm the oldest. Yeah. It's my job.
Yeah, but and that's the thing within the large family. It's like the oldest will take all the blame. You know, everything good is not the credit of the oldest, but the oldest take responsibility, and the youngest get all the credit. And that's what we always say. And the middle one will be forgotten. So therefore, it's like Gina, like you know, you would never. Getting me, you know, call me every day. Yeah. But it's also more important is that it's coming from myself within the family. I was the driven in the innovating the products.
Got it.
I was really fascinating in the development of a products that really healthy. But particularly at the time, I was focusing on supporting fruit and veg into children's dietary. So how we can introduce more fruit and veg into sort of the kids like fruit and veg. When I had children, I have two children, and among us all, we have 12 kids. So we really wanted to make sure that the next generation, and this is part of our future plans, is that the next generation live healthy and inspired. So I thinking of having fruits, but fun, you know, it's the, so that's why the apples, let me, for the listeners who haven't tried apples, just a little description. Apples are like, apples are chopped into bite-sized pieces and blasted with other fresh, delicious fruits like apples, apple with strawberries. So it's you're eating apple, but with a little strawberry flavor, taste, and sense in it, or apple with mango, apple with raspberries. So it's a very fun and adventurous journey of having healthy food. And that's what I love about in the innovation, right, in developing products that's fun for the kids. And I was really inspired by every kids who have tasted. I have not got one kid that's saying, oh, what is this? And in a negative way, but they're like, wow, what is this? And it's like, oh my God.
And it's in a package that they can take with them. They can put it in their lunchbox. If a mom's busy, you can stick it in her bag. They're portable. They're not messy. You don't need to have a wet wipe after you've gotten into the bag.
Right.
And I will warn you, once you open the bag, you know, you can close it, but you won't. You'll eat the whole darn thing.
You eat the whole lot.
I did. I kept putting it down saying, oh, yummy. I didn't want to be a pig. It took me a day, but I ate that entire bag. So I kept going in there and going, I wonder how many. Then I got to the end and there was only two left. I was like, oh, I have to save it for tomorrow. It didn't wait until tomorrow. So, yeah, they really are delicious, but they're handy. And if kids are going to eat them, which I strongly hope they will, because we've got an obesity problem in the United States, it's just out of control. And it's unusual for me to see a normal, what I consider a normal looking child.
Mm, yeah, 100% fruits on me.
Yeah.
What I love about it is when you're feeding yourself or your family with 100% real fruits. And real fruits only, nothing added, no sugar added, no artificial, no preservative or anything else apart from the fruits itself. Even less not added. Remove water contents of the out and you got extra flavors. Right. So that's really incredible. When we have kids and eating them. And you know, I'm working in an office and all our staff as well, my sister particularly, she right next to me and most of the time and we just putting our hands into the pack as we're topping away and we put our hands into the pack. It's such a
potato chips, you know, eat these instead. They are so good. And I wanted to ask you, you know, because we are going to run out of time pretty soon. Your company has acquired some pretty, I don't know, how do I want to put this? You've gotten a lot of, well, you have a foundation. We want to talk about that. But you also have some pretty significant awards and some international recognition. That's amazing for being in business as long or as short as you have. So tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, we're really blessed, and I was so proud. And we stand behind our brand, and obviously you can tell Gina, I put my name on that, put all my heart into it. And so when into 2022, we won the International Company of the Year Awards in London, and that was really incredible, amazing. Awards that we unexpected with so many large businesses out there, and we won that awards, and we won family business distinguished family business of the year in Australia and New Zealand. Those awards have given us incredible honor and in that recognitions on what we all the hard works that the family and not just the family but the whole team of Triple S Strawberry and Gina's Table have worked together and put together. That recognitions is incredible, so we really honor. Along with that, we have won a few other awards nationally and locally as well. We had set up the Triple S Foundation with our intentions of giving back to the community when we, and that was over 10 years now that the Triple S Foundation has been operate with a support for the local community, national and international, particularly we coming from a family background with like kind of from Vietnam, very poor, and come to refugee camps when we suffer, we had not enough food and not enough clothing and not enough shelter. So those are the areas that we find and health side as well. Our goal and dream is like, how can we give back to the community? And that's where the Triple S Foundation came into place, where mom now her main area is the foundation. She go to Vietnam, Philippines, India, particularly Vietnam twice a year. And we do, she'll be going there physically herself, visiting families that are in need and build them a home, provide them with water. Or every year she will do at least 140 cataracts operation for elderly. And we support a number of orphanages as well. So there's a building road or bridges, you know, in countryside in Philippines or in Vietnam, where children or elderly have to cross the little lake on a one stick bamboo bridge. If you could imagine that.
I can't imagine it.
Yeah. So what they do have in the countryside is the bridge is just one thin block of wood, and that's where they're walking. And there's so many kids or elderly go across. Some of them are professional, but some of them, they often fall off and drown. So a lot of those accidents in those areas. And so we replace them with copper, concrete, cement bridge. Or further out in the countryside where they don't have fresh water. So we will build the well. So many of those things there. And in the local community, we support a lot of kids' activities, sport program, educations, health, and local hospital in equipments. So wherever we can support, that's where the TripWest Foundations come. And we do meals for homeless. Yeah. So a lot of the things that now mom's is more busy than on working on the farm. Even though she still go to the farm, she come to the farm early morning, 5-6 o'clock in the morning. She come down to say hi to all the workers, pickers and packers.
In the beginning, you said you didn't want to be farmers. But I think I didn't have any choice.
I can tell you now. We're very proud to be farmer.
If you tried to, you know, stick with that, no, we're not going to be farmers. We're going to be attorneys, accountants. I suspect that you would have been smacked around by the powers that be, meaning God or spirit or whoever you believe in. But, you know, there's some people that are put in this earth to do good things. And it sounds like your family is definitely in that category.
We're blessed. And you're right. We always have greater power supporting us all around. And so with the freeze-dry Genus Table freeze-dry facility and our food brand here is that we wanted to support all the other farmers and to reduce food waste. To landfill, giving fruits that are unable to go to market a second chance to turn into something that's valuable, something that's so high value, tasty, good.
Fresh vegetables, wherever you can get them, to me is the best way to go, unless they have been so homogenized by, I don't know, the things that people are doing to fresh foods now is a little bit frightening. But when you pick up something that's, oh, this is a really pretty banana, and you open it and it has no flavor, you have to wonder what bioengineering went on there. So
yeah,
fresh is the best way to go.
That's right. Yes. And then fish fry is to me, I'm just saying it is suspended in time at its seasonal best fruit and keep its freshest, tastiest, but also with Genus Table, it's with a twist. It's the fruit you know, but not as you know it. That's what I love about it.
Well, and I wanted to, we're going to run out of time. We've got about 5 or 6 more minutes, so I don't want to rush you, but you recently acquired something called Berry Fresh. What is that? What does it offer?
So we have been working a partnership with Berry Fresh with the freeze dry, it's incredible that we use the fruit in so many different ways. Snacks is one of it, but many ways is like the fruit can be great ingredients for others, like cakes, bakery, decoration is beautiful for decorations on food in a crumble and powder form, or reprocesses into anything. You can put it into your cereal, your snack bars, any of your baking. And Berry Fresh is particularly specialize into baking and cake industry, where they have a huge customer base in that side of it, where we then acquire that to be under Genius Table brand as well, putting the large company business together. And now that we're working on snacks as well as on ingredients. And so
I have a question for you, because I'm one of those people. I don't drink soda. I very rarely drink coffee. I like coffee. I like the smell of it, but my stomach hates it, so I stay away from it. But I drink a lot of tea, which doesn't bother my stomach for some reason. But I drink a ton of water, a lot of water. So my question for you is, are you going to look into, or do you have in the works, something that people can take a little tube and put it in their water, or, you know, drink it, I guess?
These fruit powders are natural as it could be. And what I do is our kids is putting toasting a apple into the blender and for smoothie. That's with like as well. It's just like they're creative. They're really fun of way of eating.
Right.
But yes, all the fruits are out. So we have powder form that you just put in and mix it up with the water, your smoothie, your juice. You add in a little flavor into your water. It's amazing. We actually have on the farm, we have the cafe on the farm where we very famous, known for is our strawberry ice cream. We made that ice cream directly from the freeze-dried strawberry. And we're the only one who is freeze-dried.
Really? And I'm not one of those people. I don't eat a lot of ice cream. Mostly I find it's just, I don't know, I have to scrape my tongue off. It just, I don't like it. It's thick. I don't care for it.
Oh, you need to fly over to Bundaberg and try our ice cream.
That's like a gelato almost, but you know, if it's, or I can do that, or I can do a sherbet, but regular ice cream, it's just too thick and icky to me. Mm. I have, I'll eat shrimp and I'll eat alligator, but don't give me ice cream. I don't want it, but yours sounds delicious.
It's incredible because we tested with freeze-dried strawberry flavor, freeze-dried mango, and is it normally ice cream would made either artificial flavor or the fresh fruits in there, which a lot of water contents, right? So with freeze-dried, it's completely different. It's done in the intensive flavor, and you can feel, you can taste, you can smell of the real fruits in them.
Fascinating. Gina, we are out of time. Thank you so much for sharing your inspiring journey and your insights with us today. I've really appreciated you coming on today and your commitment to sustainability, innovation, and community truly highlights the importance of family in building a successful business. I wish we'd see more of that in the world. But before we close, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and it's so much fun chatting with you. And I'm glad, I hope that I have given some value to your audience. And please find out more about Genius Table products in the United States on geniustable.com, and Amazon be ready for you to make any order next week.
I made a note. Well, listen, Gina, is geniustable.com?
Yeah.
And that's SSS Strawberries. Does that have a website, or is that kind of included?
Correct. Yeah. SSSstrawberry.com.au. Also a site where you can come and take a look at the strawberry field, the picking and the packing of the farm. Tour through our tourist section.
Ah, and go to Instagram. I spent some time there last night.
Yes. Yes. We have incredible fun on that as well.
Ready? I hate to do this, but as we wrap up this really insightful conversation with Gina Dang, we've learned about her visionary leadership in transforming SSS Strawberries into what is clearly a powerhouse of innovation and sustainability in the agricultural sector. And her journey highlights the importance of family, as the seven successful siblings have come together to create a thriving business that not only reduces food waste, but also makes a positive impact on their community and beyond. So go, and I can't stress this enough, they're delicious. Go to Amazon on the 15th. So listen, everybody, thank you for joining us today. And if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more stories of innovation, leadership, and the power of family, please subscribe to our podcast. Your support helps us continue to bring engaging conversations like this one every week. And I will see you next week. Gina, again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Denise.
My pleasure.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.